July 30, 2026, JEDCO Executive Committee Meeting and JEDCO Partnership Fund Board of Directors Meeting.
If she doesn't give you permission, call me. I'll let you in.
All right, glad to see you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes. You know where to find me.
What does that change for the
Thank you so much for the note. Thank you so much. It's been great.
I've got three or four people that want to do a trip.
Guys, ready?
Yep.
All right, good morning, everyone. I'd like to call order our JEDCO Executive Committee meeting on July 30th, 2026 at 8:31 a.m. I guess our first order of business is the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we're expecting a couple of guests on their way, Reed Smith with Jefferson Parish, as well as Philip Sherman with Adams and Reese. So we'll welcome them when they get here. But we do have a few absences we need to approve for today. We're requested to be excused. Jim Martin, Mike O'Connor, Bob Stevens, and Billy Douglas. Could I get a motion to approve this? Thank you, Gene. Second by Joe. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Those opposed? All right. Hearing none, the motion passes. All right. The next order of business is the approval of the minutes from the July 1st meeting, 2026. All right.
I can't vote. I know that. I was just joking.
I'll take it. Thank you, Jocelyn. I'm glad you approved,
see,
Teresa.
I have to have the okay.
All right. Second by Michael. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes.
You could tell it's summer. The summer dull. By the absences and the responses.
I guess we'll have to wait till it cools off. Maybe that's soon. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Any public comments on the agenda? I don't see anyone here to comment. So we'll move on to unfinished and new business. First order of business is a resolution giving preliminary approval to a proposal by Westminster Tower Apartments 2 Limited Partnership for the Jefferson Parish Economic Development and Port District to enter into a payment in lieu of tax arrangement as an incentive for a development project in the parish, providing for the employment of special counsel and providing for other matters in connection with the foregoing. I'll turn it over to Lacey to give us more details.
Thank you. Yes. So the focus of this pilot request is Tower 2 of two towers of Westminster Tower Development in Kenner. At the end of last year, JEDCO entered into a pilot arrangement with HPI, Housing Preservation Incorporated. That's a nonprofit, but it was their for-profit limited partnership. HPI is the general partner. At that time, we knew that they wanted to have the pilot lease on Tower 2 as well, but we couldn't move forward at that time because Tower 2 was encumbered by a capital advance mortgage from HUD, and it couldn't be removed or subordinated by HPI's new financing for Tower 2. And plus the restructuring process of the affordability program with HUD is kind of a lengthy process. But we knew they were going to come back and ask us to consider a pilot on Tower 2 and at the right time, right when the time was right, and this is the time. Tower 2 is an 82-unit senior affordable housing apartment building. It's fully occupied. And just like Tower 1, they're going to handle the renovations like they did for Tower 1, where they're not displacing any of the current tenants. They might go to, you know, spend time in a common area throughout the day while their unit's getting updated and then come back at night to sleep. It's like an overnight, 1 or 2 day process. Total capital cost of the improvements is $559,000, about roughly. And that'll include renovations to the common areas and the individual units. Let's see. So with this resolution, this is a preliminary pilot approval resolution, so it authorizes Jerry and I to begin developing an agreement for the second tower. And then it authorizes our chair and vice chair or Jerry to sign the engagement letter with Adams and Reese, who's our special counsel for pilots. If I'm forgetting something, but please let me know if you have any questions.
So is this mirror the
yes.
previous one we had done for?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Absolutely.
Okay.
It's they're requesting a 20-year abatement term, 100% abatement. And the property right now, and actually since it was developed, has not been taxable. It's been owned by a nonprofit for all these years. So what we'll do, I think HUD has given them a 90-day deadline to acquire the building. So we'd love to have this pilot timed with that to where the limited partnership, which is a for-profit entity, purchases the building, but automatically at the same time, basically, they convey it to JEDCO. So it's totally tax exempt.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Lacey. Mm-hmm. Any questions for Lacey?
This will go to the council for approval as well, like all of our...
Right. After our... Pilot Advisory Committee and the JEDCO Board will take it to the City of Kenner Council first, and with their approval, we'll then send it to the Parish Council.
Okay. Has the first one been through the Parish Council? Or okay.
Yeah, it's active.
All right, that one is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is just the first step in the process. This will come back when there's an actual deal to review.
Oh, that okay, yes. All right, well, hearing there's no other further comments or questions, well, I will ask this time that we approve a motion.
I'll move.
All right, Michael, thank you. Need a second? Jocelyn?
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, any opposed? All right, hearing none, the motion passes as recorded. So. We'll move on to the second item. That is the approval of the project administration services policy for the collection of fees associated with the state capital outlay, grant administration, and cooperative endeavor agreements. And I'll hand it over to Scott.
Great. Thank you.
Scott, you may want to reintroduce yourself. Don't recognize.
I had to look around the room.
I really thought. I didn't want to say anything, but you haven't been here in a while. I really looked down. You're rocking the 80s.
It's hanging on.
I'm loving
it.
You know, I'm an 80s person.
Thank you.
And 80s man.
From time to time, it's requested of JEDCO to either facilitate state capital outlay, grant administration, and or cooperative endeavor fees, either for other entities, the parish, or companies in Jefferson Parish. And some of the projects are relatively small, other projects are large, sizable, and very time consuming. For example, state capital outlay for the gate complex a couple of years ago was very burdensome on JEDCO. It took a lot of moving money, a lot of grant, a lot of administration of the CEAs and so forth. we have sometimes small projects, like either smaller grants or even like studies that we do for like Tarrytown, where the staff gets involved in those. And a lot of times, it's not just pass-through funds. It's funds that are given to JEDCO, and JEDCO has to administer our contract or deal with oversight, things like that. So it's burdensome on the staff to facilitate that, and it costs staff time, money, and so forth. And sometimes even involves JEDCO funds coming and going out of our accounting. So we talked about this back when we did the gate complex. We came up with a small fee that we did pass along to Avondale Global Gateway, and it offset some of our costs, but it was not even close to the amount of work that we had to facilitate for that project. So now that we're approaching another Avondale Global Gateway project that could be as much as $6 million, it's going to be a lot of oversight for that. It's going to involve at least 3 or 4 staff members to handle it. We're sort of discussing the possibility of putting a policy in place. First of all, it would standardize everything, so it's no negotiation per contract, per CEA or grant. It's something that will be standardized going from this point forward if approved. And then we break it out into 3 sections, so state capital outlay. We try to make a fee structure that's comparable to the project. So we looked at other entities and other organizations, how they use the state capital outlay. And typically, it's anywhere from 10 to 20%. So what we're proposing on page 18 is, I believe, much more conservative. It's more feasible for JEDCO to administer. So we're looking at, just for state capital outlay projects, under 500,000 would be 9%. 500,000 to 5 million would be 7%. And then over 5 million would be 5%. So for comparable purposes, other entities charge as much as 20% on projects like this. Mm-hmm. So if you go to CSRS, they would charge up to 20% for that same project. So we would be way under that amount. For grant administration, we reduce those fees less than the state capital outlays. Up to 250 would be 3%, 250 to 1 million would be 2%, and over 1 million would be 1%. And then when we get to cooperative endeavor agreements, then we had flat 1%. And those type of projects are typically something we do with the parish. So obviously we gotta be very competitive for that process. We do charge fees on top of that. There's an application fee for state capital outlay of $3,000, and then on grant administration, there's an application fee of $1,000. Jumping back to state capital outlay, because the projects are very complicated and can last up to 25 years, the bulk of the work is done in the first 5 years. So actually, probably, and Lacey can attest to this, the bulk of the work is probably done before we even contract, between getting all the paperwork done, dealing with the entities involved, and things like that. Then once we get the project, there's the construction oversight and so forth. So we developed the fee structure of just state capital outlay, where it's broken up over the 25-year life of the project. The first 5 years, it's billed 60%, so that we can get the bulk of the funds up front. And then following that, it's billed at 40% over 6 to 25 years. And state capital outlay doesn't have to always go to 25 years. Once the bonds are paid off, then the project would end, and so would the fee structure. And that's why it's weighted more at the beginning of it. So, for example, the incubator was paid off in about 7 years. So they would have the first 5 years, and then 2 years after that on the reduced structure, if something like that would happen. So that's essentially what we're looking to approve. On page 19, can give you a breakdown. It's pretty easy for the second and third, but the state capital outlay, you can see the breakdown on this page, how it actually works. This is an example of the gate complex. So, of the rail project. So at $5.8 million, JEDCO's take, if it lasts the entire length of the 25 years, would be $290,000. So this definitely would help offset JEDCO's costs. I'm not saying it would cover it 100%, but it would offset the cost on this type of project.
Well, it seems really well thought out, and quite honestly, in the private sector, we would do the same thing in terms of how we would structure the administrative cost. I don't know if there's anything from the fact that it's state funds that we would have to abide by any other state regulation as it relates to
State capital outlay does allow for it. Okay. So most programs do. Federal goes up to, I believe, 20% or
it just depends on so, the, yeah, we'd obviously have to follow for any federal award their requirements.
CSRS is typically 10% no matter what, and they do a lot of state capital outlay projects. They did Delgado for and worked with us on that. CDBG, you can go up to 20%. Typically on LADBG, you can do 10% and state capital outlay allows up to 10%, and in cases you can exceed that. So obviously if the program does not allow it, then we can reduce those fees, we can come back to you guys. But this will allow, it kind of takes the hands away from JETCO where a client can come to us and say, well, we want to do this, but we only want to give you $500 per year to maintain that project.
You know up front.
Yes, it's all up front. It's approved by the board and makes it a lot easier for, I think, the staff to say, we're happy to do it. This is our fee structure based on your project.
And Scott, does that come out of the funds that we receive on behalf of the state, or how does that get collected?
Typically, it would reduce the funds that are being received.
Okay.
On cases, it can be, especially when we get to see cooperative endeavor agreements, it can be reduced or it can be added to, depending on the project. So, like if the parish came to us and wanted to do a study, we have to work closely with them and the vendor to determine what would be the best results for them, whether the contractor is willing to reduce their structure for our fees, or if the parish needs to increase the CEA to add those fees on top of it.
Okay, and we're assuming the parish would accept our fees as being part of any kind of parish project, is that?
I don't know if we have any pushback. I know we already presented a project to the parish.
Okay.
So that would be something, if it's a policy of ours, I can't imagine the parish would say no, or it could do the opposite where the parish said, oh, well, we don't want to reduce it, or we don't want the fees, so we're gonna go somewhere else, which, I mean, that would be a bad idea.
And that's what I was going to ask. Obviously, we're doing it at a reduced, tremendous reduced cost to them.
Right.
Liability-wise, how is that, you know, aligning with the fee costs that we are, you know, we're charging them?
For which one, the parish?
The parish.
I don't think the parish would actually get the lowest. Like, so a $25,000 project would be $250, right? So it's not a big... It's more to have for them to have skin in the game and for JETCO to get compensated slightly. We will never cover our costs with a 1% fee with Jefferson Parish, but I don't see any issues with the parish. I don't think we'll get any pushback. And Jerry deals more with the parish than I do. What's your thoughts?
Well, I will just add in the big picture that I think this policy strikes a balance of what our mission is to execute these types of projects, but we're not charging the fees that the private industry would charge. It strikes the balance. We have negotiated these in the past on a case-by-case basis, and it makes it very difficult for us. And it makes it difficult because we have the knowledge of knowing what the process entails, but the other side that comes to us always thinks that, you know, oh, what, you get a couple of emails a year and that's all you have to do. It's never, no. It is never that. It is never, ever that. It never has been that. And most recently, we had a project, a very complex project come to us, and they were proposing giving us like $500 a year or whatever, which, you know, is nothing. And I think these projects are going to continue to come to us. One, because we have the knowledge and the ability to execute, but there just seem to be more projects out there that are trying to access these, get creative and access different pots of money, and they require us to be that intermediary, either the sponsor to acquire the money or whatnot. So if we continue to get this, great, it will require us to probably expand the team at, well, like we only have so much bandwidth, and we have incredible bandwidth right now, but if we continue to take on more projects, we're going to have to either get a third party administrator, whatever, or hire more staff. And the and the fees are going to be the only way that we could substantiate those additional costs. So I think this strikes the balance, and it does take the staff out of the pressure from companies saying, well, you know, why can't you do it for this? It's not that much work. Y'all are supposed to be helping us, whatever. I think if we just have a board adopted policy,
yes,
it helps insulate us a great deal.
It's no negotiation. I think it's really well thought out. So you guys have actually put a lot of effort into this.
It would be standard benchmark. So we,
I mean, it's just like anything else, you know. It doesn't. I'm just surprised we just started to do it. I'm sorry I didn't know that.
Just one more thing. I mean, we adopted a fee policy on bonds years ago for the same reason. We didn't really have a policy, and we'd get these requests for pilots and bonds, and it was kind of all over the place, and then companies are beating up on us, and then the board adopted a policy, and it helped because there's no more back and forth and putting the staff in a position of the negotiation of that.
All right, appreciate all the discussion around this topic. Thank you, Scott, for the details. Any other questions or comments? Okay, well, I'd like to ask for a motion.
Move to approve.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Jocelyn. Any, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right, any opposed? All right, hearing none, the motion passes as written.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Okay, the next item of business is the resolution approving a cooperative endeavor agreement between the City of Gretna and Jefferson Parish Economic Development and Port District for up to $35,749 to fund a phase two environmental site assessment at 2nd and Freed Streets in Gretna, and authorizing JEDCO's president and CEO to execute any of the documents necessary to accept these funds following successful legal review. Annalisa.
So you all know we have a Brownfield Award. We have, through that, it's from the EPA, through that award, we have funded over 20 environmental site assessments for properties all across Jefferson Parish from, you know, the former Johns Manville property to properties in River Ridge and East Bank for community recycling programs. We did it for the linen site, like all kinds of properties all across the parish. It's been really great to see these vacant properties for decades be put back into commerce. One of the more challenging properties is this one before you today at 2nd and Freed Street. It's 1.3 acres in downtown historic Gretna that has been abandoned since 1989. Wow. It formerly had a company that produced construction adhesives and shut down in 1989. It's been abandoned ever since. It is only a couple blocks away from, you know, Lafayette Street, Huey P. Long. It is surrounded by residential uses. There is a developer interested in purchasing this property and putting in single family homes and a possible Boys and Girls Club. And the EPA has approved this project. This is exactly the kind of project that the EPA wants to do, where it has been sitting forever and the cost to do the testing is cost prohibitive for any developer. So the cost is $130,749. So that is just a huge, just for the testing, it's a huge cost for, and it's gonna be a cooling effect for any prospective purchaser or developer. So this is why this EPA Brownfield grant exists, is for this exact reason. We, because we have funded so many assessments and we have a couple in the pipeline still, we don't have sufficient funding in our grant to cover the entire cost. This is a big priority for the City of Gretna because it is a, the property is contaminated with arsenic and a few other chemicals that I can't pronounce, and it's surrounded by residential use. So they really want to see that this property is cleaned up and developed for housing. So we have, the EPA has approved for us to use pretty much the rest of our funding for this property. And Gretna has agreed to share the cost. They have some residual funds from a previous brownfield program that can be used to make that difference so that we can finally get this property redeveloped, which is very exciting. The other exciting thing for me personally is that this would close out our brownfield award. We've done a lot over 5 years. It's really exciting to think that one of these complicated properties right in the heart of downtown Gretna would close this out. So it's been really great to work with Gretna on this, and the Army Corps of Engineers is involved. They've provided their permit. The levy district provided their permit. So the last thing is really securing this funding. Gretna City Council has approved it at their July 8th council meeting, and so now we're before you today to approve this cooperative endeavor agreement, whereby we are sharing the costs. And the way that would work is Leaf Environmental would invoice us. We would pay from our brownfield award, and then Gretna would pay us, and we would pay Leaf that difference. So it would be at no cost to JETCO, JETCO's general operating fund. So, any questions?
Sound good?
Yes. Yeah. Sounds good to me too.
I could. The parish has asked me to. I do think it would be good for the parish to continue this program because it's such a great tool to you know, get properties back into commerce, and we still have a number of brownfields on the East Bank and West Bank. I think it actually would make more sense, and I've talked to the parish about this, for the parish's environmental affairs department to take on that future grant, but we could be a partner. So,
is there still any federal money in the program that we got the grant from?
There Believe it or not, the program has still been funded by Congress. So there are, as long as Congress keeps authorizing it and funding the Brownfield Assessment Program, there will be competitive grants for it. And I've talked to the parish, to a few different directors and Juliet about the possibility of applying in the future.
That's great.
We now have a fee structure for that.
It's well, on that note, actually, so federal awards, you have to adhere to their requirements, but we do get my time on this is reimbursed by EPA, which is nice. So.
At a double-time cost?
Regular cost.
$12 trillion to refurbish their airport. I think they can drop some pennies to us, you know. But I mean, that's what happened.
We'll go to Congress and talk to them.
No. I know. Did you hear that? $12 trillion to refurbish the airport
in D.C.
Yeah,
$12 trillion.
$12 trillion. That's what they said, and I said, yep, I kept reading. I had to like read the.
Yeah, no. That's right.
Build a whole new airport. You build a bunch of airports for that.
They said how many millions of square feet they're doing, and then they're expanding three other areas. And because, I mean, I'm telling you, I had to read it. I said,
wow.
I thought, billion, yeah, I can see billion, but not trillion. Maybe the newscaster was wrong. I was like, I can read it.
It's a lot to work with.
Trillion is a lot of money.
I'm sure you can do
like,
a lot with
that
it.
That can be right. But I said, oh, okay. I thought it was billion because she said trillion, and I had to like read the italics
possible.
In the bottom to
the chart. Possible.
You
know the
cost. That's exactly. I mean, crazy. Well, I think, I'm telling you, the newscaster was saying it, and I was doing something else. I had to turn around and say, President Trump just to, you know, is asking for approval of blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what the heck is happening in Washington?
I guess we'll see.
I hope she was. I'm telling you, I was like, trillion? How much are you buying the world? You know? And I'm. Okay. Enough of this. Yeah.
Well, if there's an additional trillions out there, Annalise is going after is what I hear. So.
Well, they have to go to the airport here.
Think about the fee on that.
We might need another bank account.
How did we get a 12 trillion? And I'm telling you, I thought it was the newscaster.
Right.
I was trying to cite.
It's 22 billion.
22?
Yeah, 22
billion.
Slightly less than
trillion.
It's just a little less.
In light years, it'll be trillions. But I'm saying to you, like, I think a newscaster was wrong. I really stopped and said, trillion, what the heck are they building over there? Atomic bomb? I don't know.
Well, hearing trillions these days is not out of the ordinary.
So it's 20 billion.
Right.
Just to say it's still 22 billion. Okay, so that's still a lot of money.
Sort of amount of money.
Yes.
We just tell we just need one.
Annalisa will go for that kind of money too. So
just make sure you don't.
She is up for sale.
Make sure you just don't include we're going to paint it and put gold in the place. That's
right. We can just do it at 1%.
No gold finishing.
We can do it at 1%.
All right. Well, thank you all for the discussion. Any other further questions for Annalisa on this topic? All right. Well, hearing none, I'll ask for a motion.
I'll make a motion.
All right. Joe, and second by Gene. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you.
All right. Our next order of business, President CEO report.
Sure. Jerry? I'll start just a little bit of activity on the prospect front. While summer seems slower for everyone, the prospect activity has not slowed down. There are a number of large prospects out there, considering both the Avondale site, the Cornerstone site, and I mean we're talking billions with a B.
type
investment. If you came through Clearview, you see the pilings. The Francis is well underway with that work commencing. Out at Clearview, the demolition is well underway. So, two very tangible, visible projects that we helped execute around this table are underway and providing a transformation in separate parts of the parish. So. We've been very active on the fundraising front, both from the Jefferson Edge standpoint as well as the food and beverage incubator. We've been, Bryson, our development manager, I've been joking, he's increased my workload by like threefold just because it's meeting after meeting after meeting. We're hitting everyone and generating tremendous excitement. Our Jefferson Edge, I would say, for the last many years has kind of hovered around $250,000 in annual collections. Right now, we're scheduled to finish around $400,000, but we still have a lot of fundraising to do this year. So, helps us with self-generated funding as well, as I mentioned, just with the fee discussion. In the absence of getting any additional funding from the parish, we're relying more and more on self-generated funding, and that's coming through our loan programs and fees and interest and fees for administrative things like this. We're real proud of that. On the fundraising topic, I sort of want to put this on your radar because I think we're going to come back to you probably next month with this discussion. We met with the Greater New Orleans Foundation, actually through the Jefferson Community Foundation. They recommended we meet with Ganoff to talk about our permanent fund for our food and beverage incubator. We're trying to raise the $6.2 million. It was recommended to talk to Ganoff about holding those funds when we raise that money. And we met with them. We've had some really good communications, but it generated also a different conversation. And that is Jennifer and I have been taking a look at our fund balance here, which has historically, since the beginning of time, been held in LAMP, which is the Louisiana Asset Management holding. And for many years that performed very well, very safe investment, but the returns there more recently are just non-existent. Our money is not doing anything for us. Ganoff sort of presented that may be a really good alternative to take some of our LAMP funding and move it over to their foundation, which is receiving exponentially better returns. It's slightly more volatile, but because of their pool of money, they can get into investments that we just don't have access to, and it's something we want to strongly consider. So we'll be working on a proposal to come back to the board and see if you all agree with that. And so that'll probably come maybe next month to the board. The IEDC conference is fast approaching. It's the 100th anniversary of the International Economic Development Council and its predecessors. But that council, that conference is here in New Orleans in October. We actually are doing a session for the entire IEDC on our seafood resilience in Grand Isle Jewels. And so there'll be some programming around that. I think they've lined up Richard Florida as one of the plenary speakers and still lining up some other speakers. So I just say that to put that on your radar. If any of you have interest in that conference, let me know, because I'm trying to see about what type of access we can provide to the commissioners to attend. Any questions on any of that before I...
When and where is the conference?
The conference will be headquartered at the Hyatt, the big Hyatt. It is the week of the Saints playing in Paris. Mm. Which they announced, but which they announced like ahead of time the conference dates, and then like the governor, the secretary of economic development, everybody's in Paris and trying to get back in time for the.
I think it's October 26th to 28th.
Yeah. So, but it will be a great opportunity for us to show off our efforts. We can't divulge, but at the conference we will be, JEDCO will be receiving some recognition.
Jingles? No, that's great.
What's that?
Jingles?
Some more jingles. it's funny you mentioned that, because Gene was a great sport. Teresa were players in our filming recently. We're doing four short videos that we'll release in the run up to the annual luncheon. No one was injured during the
filming. It was a
surprisingly.
But we take a shot.
Maybe he goes.
There's talent.
Yeah. There's a, I don't want to give away too many surprises, but we have a game show, a musical. We have all sorts of all sorts of surprises that'll be released throughout the remainder of the year. I feel sorry for Anthony and those having to clean up the mess after we had confetti cannons. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But I will say to the point, we do have a lot of talent on the staff that
so
not everybody realized that their coworker had certain talents, and it's been
it's been
fun. So.
Well, it sounds epic. Can't wait to see it.
With that, today is a sad day for me, because Paula is having to resign from the board as she announced her run for the parish council in District 5.
All right.
I know it, even though she looks so much younger than me, we go all the way back to grammar school together. I know Paula, when she makes some remarks, is going to bestow praise on everyone else and how much she's learned from everyone else. But I think we've taken much more from you than you've imparted on us, and that is your desire for public service, your desire to do the right thing, to be engaged in the community. So thank you for your service. We are very, sorry to see you go because of what you have been able to contribute, but I wanted to give you a chance to say a few words.
I appreciate that, Jerry. And you exactly know me well. And yeah, and so it's twofold. The first moment I stepped in here, I was blown away by the sheer organization. Penny, your entire team offers name tags, documents. Paula signed this. I'm just amazed at how of a well-oiled machine you all run and impressed on that. Once I got involved, really to see how much of subject matter experts on all things you all are and how much you all lend to this organization, what this organization does for Jefferson Parish, I had no idea. I knew Jerry, I knew he's a dynamic guy, but had no idea. My dissertation was on cultures of organizations, and you all really exemplify that. So I appreciate all I've learned from you all. The second part is the board, watching Michael, so strategic every time, right? And I'm always like, what's he gonna say next? Because it's always, right?
You will never get.
Why is it shall when it should be, you know? But I've learned so much just working with the board, and there's only a few of you guys here, but, you know, not only the team here, but subject matter experts in your industry, and I look forward to continued engagement with you guys. So again, I'm not going far, but wanted to do my due diligence and call Jerry. I'm like, look, this happened a lot sooner than it anticipated. Normally, I would not have announced till next year, but as you all know, Hans Liljeberg is announced his run for Scott Walker's seat, Division B. My team, who is a lot of Hans's team, thought it would be prudent to go ahead and make my announcement. So a press release went out the following day, and you'll hear more as we move through. So thank you for your support.
Thank you, Paula.
Don't forget about us.
Stop it. Thank you.
He knows where he lives.
Oh, I know.
And we'll keep you updated on what Michael says in the next meeting.
Please, I need to know.
All these quotations.
Yes, that's right.
All I have.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Jerry, and congratulations to the whole team on the fundraising. That's pretty impressive work in a short time.
Yeah.
All right. So now we'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second. Joe, second. With that, we are officially adjourned. Oh, but we need
to.
Yes. So we're going to move to our next meeting. So we will call to order the Board of Directors meeting for the JEDCO Partnership Fund on July 30th, 2026 at, what is it, 9:13. And so we do have a quorum, and we need to approve the minutes from our July 1st meeting. All right, Jocelyn moves. I need a second.
Second.
All right, Michael, as our second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? All right, that motion passes. Our next is unfinished and new business. We have one item for today, a resolution appointing Jerry Bologna as registered agent for... They tell me I have to read this directly as Jay. Is, so... for JEDCO Partnership Fund at 501c3 supporting organization. I'll hand it on over to Jerry to provide some details.
Not much. As Gerald, I would request that you move to approve this resolution, just appointing me as the registered agent.
I move.
All right, Jocelyn, and second by Gene. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, any opposed? All right, hearing none, the motion passes. And hold on, we have one more important item, and that is for adjournment. So, I'll accept the motion to adjourn. Michael, second by Gene. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all. We'll see you.